Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
So we decided to meet at this lovely bookstore. We're here in the Inland Northwest. This just so happens to be the only one like it. I think we came here last October. We all perused through these shelves and we picked out our own book. The thing about this bookstore that is unique is that it has romance only. That is it.
There are so many books in there.
It's packed wall to wall. It's beautiful in here.
And it is so well organized. And just tons of people write us with different types of books. If you're looking for this kind of book, if you're looking for this kind of book, I never knew there were so many categories and love stories.
I didn't either. And it was easy to find what you're looking for.
Yes.
Yes. I kind of was looking for sports.
I know.
Sports.
So cute.
I don't know.
Oh, well, that is a genre.
I kind of wanted football.
Or was it hockey?
Or hockey. rugby.
Could be nice too. Romanticy is a genre.
Romanticy.
Which I guess is like the most popular genre of romance being read right now.
What is romance?
It's romance. We should know about this. Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
Combined into one. Mm-hmm. So that's the most popular, and according to Diane, who owns the store, that is the most popular genre that they sell.
Do you know that's true? Because like I get little spouts where I'm like, ooh, I want to read my little, you know, vampire slayer.
Yeah,
love triangle books.
Like, that was probably my first.
Oh, yes, I remember you reading that.
It was so stupid. Do you remember? Like, I couldn't get my nose out of that book.
None of us could.
I know, it's true. It's true. But then Lisa was really cute when 50 Shades of Grey series came out.
did you read it? I only read it because, Brad doesn't read books, period.
Yeah.
Ever. He doesn't. For whatever reason, like, that came out, was really popular, and he was away for quite some time. And he was like, oh gosh, I'll read this, I'll check it out. He bought it, he started reading, I probably got two chapters in.
Really?
And was like, no. Yeah, he doesn't read. So,
which is crazy because he's so smart.
Yeah, he doesn't need to read. No, it's not true. He reads other things, I'm sure, but he just doesn't read fiction or nonfiction, which means everything.
Which includes everything.
Oh, goodness. So, anyway, I thought it was interesting. So, this bookstore, it's called It's a Love Story. And it was even featured in a New York Times article.
Oh, great.
I guess I was talking to a gal who knows about this place, and she was telling me that they have like local book signing author events. They have like gatherings, and one of the authors, like, she has gone to multiple of these specific type of bookstores mm-hmm. around the country, mm-hmm. and so she's got a good feel for that. And she's like, "This is by far my favorite one."
Oh well, this place is so cute.
The coffee
is so good, and the atmosphere is wonderful.
It's
cute.
It's adorable. There's some nice lounge chairs you can sit in, read your books, and I have a yummy London Fog drink.
I did a chai tea. I'm going to be up till midnight.
I know it doesn't help that I drank a Red Bull on my way here. I was just so tired. I thought, oh gosh, I'm not going to be able to drive there. Drive to Coeur d'Alene, that whole hour is rough when you're tired.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be up.
I'm sugar rushing, so this will be fun because I'm having a vanilla latte on top of a birthday cake.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. What kind of birthday cake?
I made three different ones. I made it
of course.
Vegan chocolate.
Just so everyone knows, Valerie is the queen of cakes. She makes the most amazing cakes.
She could open a cakery.
She's made a vagina cake. She made a penis cake.
I should post a picture of my penis cake that she made. I don't remember what birthday it was for. It's like a I'm gripping it.
Yes.
I made it bullet. I made it in ding dongs because that just cracked me up. So, yes. The whole thing was stag ding dong center with their hand grabbed around it. And then the ball sack, I think, was serrations. It had everything. It had, you could see the veins. Well, you know, my vasculaturally.
That's right. No, it was veiny.
It was veiny. It did. I had it all throughout,
yes. Yeah,
anatomically correct.
Yeah. Anatomically correct. But the thing that impressed me the most was like the size of the hand gripping it. I was like,
yeah.
It would have been.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted you to have the biggest and best birthday ever.
Manifesting large.
Okay. So Valerie is master fondant, and so she puts fondant over everything and makes it look like
real life
stuff.
But when she doesn't do the fondant, she does
the
most delicious cake I've ever had for Suzanne's birthday.
Yes,
and I'm just one of those types.
You made that too.
But no, she wanted I think she wanted an orange. I can't remember. Hers was orange I don't know. I made a lemon blueberry, and then I made a vegan chocolate and a regular chocolate.
You're talking language.
You know? And then this one, actually, it was really pretty. I did flower arrangements with it and stuff, because Bob likes bundt cakes. Some of those are, you can't really cover a bundt cake in fondant. So I just did really fancy tier work with flower arrangements and stuff.
Trip ganache. I'll say that's fancy.
Well, I did that. I made.
Of course. Yes. Oh man, where was I?
Anyway,
you know I love cake.
So yeah, I'm sugar girl. Because I brought it all, and I made like lunch for 50 people and brought it there and stuff. So
you're such a good wife.
Yeah, I'm totally sugared out. It's like, and you have all these different frostings and all those different cakes. Yeah. You have to taste them all. So I'm just like,
Of course you do. you can't send something without knowing it's amazing first.
Right?
Yes. That sounds like a good day. Mm. Well, should we talk about our goals?
Yes.
Yeah. So what we did, I don't know, it was like probably 5 months ago.
Yeah.
We all came, we picked out our own little book. I picked out, I don't know what I would call. This is supposed to be a spinoff of Sense and Sensibility.
Okay.
I think.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. Courtney's going to be pissed because I've never read or watched. I have no idea what Sense and Sensibility is about.
Oh, my gosh. Have you never read Jane
Austen? I'm not a Jane Austen person.
Oh, yeah. I love Jane Austen.
I shouldn't admit that out loud. I feel like
that's you have read and don't like. You have read and
never
interested.
Just never delved in.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to do one.
What was the play that we went to?
Oh, yeah.
Was that a Jane Austen?
Yes.
What is that?
What was it?
Little Women?
Pride and Prejudice. There's Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice. Sense and Sensibility.
So Sense and Sensibility actually had a play at that theater too.
Yeah.
I think we went to Yeah, Pride and Prejudice. Yeah, we went to Pride and Prejudice.
She did Emma?
Nope.
Okay, well, let's...
It's very Pride and Prejudice-y.
Okay. We should watch one of the movies.
Yeah, they're cute.
You'll put me through that? Okay.
You are going to love it.
You did watch A Room with a View.
If it weren't for Courtney, I wouldn't love him as much.
I know, because this is why we love Courtney. She's a new perspective.
No, I'm terrible.
Yeah, okay, we're going to do one.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me how you like this one.
This one is titled Sex and Sensibility, and it was written by Nikki Payne. What I kind of wanted to do was give you a rundown of like what this is all about, and I want to make you guys guess.
Oh,
okay.
Because it's so hard to guess. So the two main love interests, we have Nora. She was a promising track star. But she's now at a dead end because she lost her scholarship with only 9 credits left to graduate because of a sex tape scandal. Her boyfriend posted a sex tape of her without her permission.
Ooh,
and because,
not cool.
Yeah, not cool. Mm-hmm. And this, for Nora, is what she has to learn how to overcome because she's, it impacts all of her relationships. It was made into memes like snapshot of her face with like different things. And people look at her and immediately know, oh, you're that girl. And so it has kind of, in essence, destroyed her life. And so the book starts with, you know, that information, but she's at a funeral, happens to be her dad's funeral. Mm-hmm. And people are giving them sideways glances.
Yeah.
She's like, what's going on? Like, why can't we be here? Well, she found out at her dad's funeral that, well, they're the bastard children. Her mom was the mistress.
Oh.
And everybody's giving them major hate. She grew up, you know, into full adulthood, not knowing this about her history.
Wow.
And her dad had written in the will, you know, I guess he had some kind of a big spice company that did really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said that his, I don't know how else to put it, bastard children, that sounds terrible.
Oh my God.
sounds terrible.
There's no nice way to say that.
That they were gifted or willed a dilapidated inn that had run down on the coast of Maine, and that they were given a year to take this money, renovate the inn, and turn a profit, or they would lose it all. So that's what she's dealing with.
Okay. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Like, that's not a very nice will.
No. Well, on top of the sex scandal and dad dying and
drop your life in
heavy.
This is chapter one, you guys.
Dang. Oh, this is an intense book.
It's intense. I don't know if this follows up.
I feel like we're watching like a K-drama or something. Okay, what happens now?
Yeah, well, yeah, really. What happens next?
And we're done. No. And then along comes
Sexy Handyman. All right.
No. So they go up to renovate this inn. They're in the middle of renovating, like just had gotten there with their bags. They don't have a car. They're Ubering all the time.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how you're supposed to renovate without a truck.
Oh, yeah, guys.
Or some kind of a vehicle. And who shows up but Native Abenaki Eco Tour Guide Ennis.
Oh.
So they're the tribe, Native American tribe up there. They're known as the Abenakis or Abenakis. And Ennis is known as Bear. And he sits on the tribal council. He's well-respected amongst his tribe. Mm-hmm. And for a living, he does eco-tour guides. And
that's cool.
Part of that includes going through the inn. Mm-hmm. That is now, you know, falling apart. Yes. So he shows up with his entire tour, and they're there, like, unpacking their bags mm-hmm. and thinking they're going to, you know, turn this place around. And they're like, you can't be doing that, you know. But he comes around and sees that they don't have a clue what they're doing. I'm pretty sure they've never held a hammer in their life. And so he's like, here, let's work this out. Mm-hmm. If you throw me a bone, I throw you a bone. I'll help you with this renovation mm-hmm. if you let me continue using the space. And we'll both be better off for it.
Yeah.
So he's got that going on. But Bear, his backstory, he's struggling financially. This is a big one. He has an ex-girlfriend who he borrowed $10,000 from because he's just not good with his finances. And then she's going to nursing school. They break up, and she gets mugged and brutally injured.
Oh, dang.
This is like roller coaster. Is there a happy part to this story?
But, I mean, this is like backstory for me.
Okay.
Like the book doesn't like that.
Two chapters in.
Basically, yes. And so he was supposed to be there and wasn't, and he felt really guilty about it. Her family never showed up for her. They didn't show up to help her. And he's just guilt-ridden about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So he sticks it out. He helps her with day-to-day things and finances. And she just kind of nickels and dimes him. Like, after a while, it seems like, well, she's doing pretty decent. Like, if she's capable of doing this and this and this, why isn't she capable of doing this? But she's just writing out
that
guilt train.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's gotten to make her $10,000 back, plus interest, plus interest, plus.
Yes. But That's not how she's looking at it. She looks like it's owed her. And so the other part of this is because he is Native American and part of the tribe, I guess, and I didn't know this, but they, the more pure their bloodline is, the more federal funding they get. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to dilute their bloodline, okay, their lineage. Mm-hmm. And so he's got that going on. And he also has access to a trust. And in the trust, he has to get married in order to access the trust. So for him, the solution to all of his financial woes is to get married.
To another native from his tribe.
So that he can, yes, that's what.
Sounds like a great opportunity for an open marriage.
Right? Hey, so here they are working, sweating, white wife beaters just dripping off their bodies throughout the entire book. Palpable chemistry between the two of them.
Okay.
And so that's what they're dealing with, is like, she doesn't want to get into a relationship because she'll know she'll get hurt. They only think of her as like a sex tape goddess. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to get into a relationship with somebody unless it's somebody he wants to have a family with.
Okay.
But the most sensible thing for him is to, you know, continue his bloodline and lineage. And lastly, the whole tribe is struggling financially. And they have this big power company that wants water rights and to access that. He's the only one on the tribe council that's blocking that. Mm-hmm. And if he were to marry outside of the tribe, he'll lose his seat at the tribal council. And so, I mean, he has so many reasons why it doesn't make any sense for him to
stand up on.
Yeah, to marry outside of. So that's what she's dealing with. That's what he's dealing with. And so I should tell you, he does help her, Nora, overcome her terrible history, her sex tape scandal. But Nora, like, for him to overcome all of his obligations, mm-hmm, is, I don't know, almost impossible. So I will say, I do have to read this because, mm-hmm, he was aware of the sex tape scandal. Didn't say anything to her about it.
Okay.
Because most people just kind of blow her off as, mm-hmm, soon as they figure it out. And he's like, I'm not going to judge you for that. That's not,
that's not your
story.
Yeah.
Where, like, that's the first person in her life that had ever, like, treated her like a normal person.
Yeah.
So he's like, why don't you write the narrative of this? Why don't I help you overcome that? And so you're smiling. What do you think he does?
Okay.
Valerie's got this knowing look.
No, I'm just thinking. I'm just kind of thinking, you know, if it blew up, she was a big meme, all of the things like that, you know, you could just do another kind of counter to it in a sense, because she already has kind of all the infamy, mm-hmm, and things like that too. So there's actually a way that you could spin it to where she goes and she could either be funny, she could either be provocative, she could own the situation and even make a spoof of the spoof, you know, of the thing, or make fun of everybody who makes fun of her because of that. Or, you know, if she approached it and took charge of the scenario with humor, mm-hmm, and go over and let that kind of go crazy, then everybody would be like, oh, she's a girl who has an asshole boyfriend, but she has such a great sense of humor because, mm-hmm, like, that thing happened to her.
Yeah.
But she's fucking hilarious, you know?
And so, then she makes a whole bunch of money off of,
exactly,
her comeback, and then he doesn't need to marry.
And then comes seeing her. Yep, and then comes seeing her.
It doesn't go that way.
No, he probably ends up getting actually marrying somebody in his thing, and they become friends, and she gets up for his thing, and it's probably not a happy ending. It's probably just a not happy ending. But this is a broken
soul. So much closer to how it goes. It does go that direction.
Yeah, because I think that sometimes that's part of the
last minute. Everything resolves.
Okay.
But I do want to share with you guys my favorite line. And I'll tell you how Bear helped her overcome this by taking control of the narrative. They reenact this scandalous tape. Sitting across, I don't know what a wigwam is. I should have looked that up.
I don't know what a wigwam is. It a wigwam?
A wigwam?
A wigwam or a wigwam?
Oh, a wigwam. A wigwam is that about it?
Oh,
a wigwam, isn't it? Some sort of like a living structure. Now I need to like look at it.
Yeah, I do. So anyway, they're in a wigwam. Wigwam.
Yeah. I'll wig your wam.
I'm gonna figure it out.
I think
a wig.
I feel like we need to play Boulder Dash right now. Yeah, that's what I said. It's a dwelling.
And a sock company.
Yeah. Well, but I did say dwelling.
A sock.
Okay, so it's a dwelling. They're in a dwelling. And they're reenacting this whole thing with, like, from across the room. And they both come so hard, they had to canoe their way out of the
way. Oh, that's a good line.
That is awesome. He was up a paddle. He was upstream without a paddle. Upstream without a
paddle. True. So,
anyway. Waterfall ahead.
Boom. So she got over it. Yeah.
You know, she definitely did.
She
hurdled.
She.
I thought she got stuck when she tried to hurdle to the track star, and then she tried to hurdle over it, but apparently she couldn't get over it, so she got stuck in the wigwam.
Oh, yes. Ooh. So, that is, in a nutshell, the premise of that story.
Okay.
A lot of big, heavy themes.
Yes. Jeez.
That was deep.
I'm impressed. I feel like you guessed the ending. He went to marry his ex-girlfriend, and then they magically figured out how to
make it all work.
And mm-hmm. she dumped him, and they're like, "Oh no, we can be together."
Oh,
he was like, "Unless you want to marry my grandma, and then I'm my own grandpa, there's no one for me to marry in our tribe."
But I will say, like, it felt a little too
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Dooed. It was Scooby-Dooed. Yeah, so I think realistically, for these two to have ever got together, it doesn't feel, even just how she ended up with this in this will and the circumstances.
It's kind of a crazy parent give a chore to.
Didn't feel realistic to me.
Yeah.
I had a hard time finding it believable. And I felt like, with all of their cultural perspectives, this just isn't going to work for them.
Okay. So how long did it get them?
I'm giving them 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Before the frustrations of his terrible financial
irresponsibilities
annoy the crap out of her. Mm-hmm. Because they both actually have issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just so good. It's not gonna go
but
anywhere.
It was pretty steamy, though.
Steamy?
I mean, it was the wigwam scene.
They had to canoe out of the wigwam.
Yes, they did.
He got in over his head.
Here's another one. He got so deep inside of her that if he came, she was afraid it would come out of her mouth.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeez.
So,
yikes.
That's a wow. Okay.
Woo.
Steve's
pretty. Well, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
What more can you say? There was a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
But those lines are cute and funny, but it's it's so what?
It's kind of jarring.
It's jarring.
Yeah.
And so it took it from a habanero back down to a jalapeno because you're like, what the heck?
That's
too far out there.
Hey, habanero baby. Potential. I'll say that.
So, Courtney, was your book deep? I mean, deep.
It was deep.
Or was it?
Yours was
deep.
A sports romance.
Yeah, my book. Should I do my book now?
Yeah.
Mine is Secret Love, and it is part of the Single Dad Playbook series by Willow Astor. This is, I'll read you the summary. I didn't bring my glasses, so this might be a little challenging. Ooh. Who meets their soul? Well, Pebble ate my glasses. I went to bring them, and
that Tasmanian devil.
Tell ya.
It's a dog. Okay. Just in case you're wondering.
Yes.
The puppy. Oh, yeah.
The puppy.
Yes.
Wasn't the homework.
Okay. Who meets their soulmate shopping for bagels in the supermarket bakery
aisle? This girl does. This girl does.
Yeah, she does. Before I moved to the small town of Silver Hills, I would have told you no one, but... Wait, Jesus. Okay. Let me hold this just right from my eyes. Before I moved to the small town of Silver Hills, I would have told you no one. But the second I met Henley Ward, I'm swept away. He is everything I, oh gosh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that works. Okay. This is going to take me forever to read. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm shining light.
Yes. Perfect. Okay. But the second, oh, okay, here, I'll back up a bit. All right. I'm not going to start over again. But the second I met Henley Ward, I am swept away. He is everything I look for in a man, tall, strong, and so handsome. Our instant attraction, aspired banter, and heated glances leave a lasting impression until I see him again. Like a raging tornado, he storms into the school ready to take on the teacher who has crushed his daughter's spirit. The dedication this man has to his three daughters could be the sexiest thing I have ever seen. Before we know it, we are stealing kisses in the kitchen and secretly getting it together, getting it on any chance we can. I know I should stay away from Henley so I don't lose my job. And his focus is on raising the girls and being the best wide receiver in football. But our attraction is intense, and the draw between us is too tempting to resist. I can only hope our secret love will survive when our truth is revealed. Okay. So this book is about Henley Ward and True Seymour. He is the wide receiver for the Colorado Mustangs. I didn't know this before this Super Bowl.
Okay.
But in this book, they've won three Super Bowls in a row, which never has happened.
It hasn't. They're supposed to do that this year.
Yeah. That was such a really depressing game.
I was rooting for the other guys.
So yeah, was Rob. But I was rooting for Taylor, so.
I was rooting for you.
Oh, of course you were. Yes, of course you were. But so this is fictional, so they're a pretty cool football team because they've won three in a row.
Yeah, no one's ever done it.
No one's ever done it.
Not even Tom Brady.
No?
Just saying.
So he and all the other best football players on this Colorado Mustangs team live in a small town called Silver Hills. And, yeah, they're all best friends. And they get together for coffee, like, every week and discuss, you know, their challenges that they're having raising their children. Because they're all single.
This is a Single Dad Club series book.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
So every book, there are like five books.
A different single dad.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to hook them all up by the end of the series.
So they every time they have coffee, they write a little something about, you know, what they've experienced and how they dealt with an issue with their
Because guys
child.
Do that.
Oh, all the time. Yeah, you know, they just meet for coffee. And chat about their feelings and their hopes and desires.
There was a thing called like the men's club.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about it?
My neighbor, our neighbor, Chris. Yeah, Chris.
Yeah.
He was
there is a men's club.
There was a men's club. And that was actually awesome. I think so too. It went on for a long time. That was really a cool group of guys.
Yeah, I think that is fantastic.
Me too. I wish everyone would do it. Anyway, I digress.
Oh, well, I mean,
so they exist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not personal.
It's actually not.
Yeah, I guess it can happen.
I wish it would happen more. So I guess I was kind of bad.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Henley Ward has three daughters ranging between the ages of 6 and 13. He has a very good relationship with his ex-wife. They were married when he was, I guess they were like high school sweethearts, but she never signed on to be a football star's wife. And it kind of pulled
them
apart.
That's not for everybody.
No.
For sure.
So she lives basically down the street from him. She has a house. And so they have a very good relationship with each other. They're friends.
They love that.
The kids go back and forth. It's great. Yeah. Well, in comes Drew Seymour, and we read that they met at the grocery store.
Giving bagels.
Yeah. She's like sexy teacher. She's like got glasses and a little suit, you know.
A white tan shirt.
And he asked her.
Oh, yeah. How did you guess? That's exactly what she's wearing.
Do you need some cream cheese for that bagel?
Yeah. Well, she likes the cinnamon rolls. So you'd never know because she's got a hot body.
I know. I love how these girls like have a hot body, but I never work out.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. They're so big and voluptuous. And maybe a little to her ass because she's got the bubble bum.
I love my chocolate.
Well, Drew Seymour is a substitute teacher at his daughter's school. And she is subbing for this, I think it's his 13-year-old daughter, Cassidy. And she is struggling in class. And this teacher told her to, she just said something really awful to her, like, you know, you need to try harder. Mm-hmm. It turns out she's got
dyslexia.
Yes, she has dyslexia. And he finds out that this teacher said something this to his daughter, and he gets really upset, and he's going to go confront the teacher.
Okay.
So he walks in.
But it's the wrong teacher that he confronts.
Yes, it's true. But he walks in, he's like, oh, that's the lady I met this morning, but I'm going to give it to
you
anyway.
Like, bent over her desk with the end of her glasses between her teeth. Like,
yes, just grading papers. A plus.
Yeah,
she's seven right away.
But she is very good about, you know, not, she doesn't say that she's not the teacher for a while.
Oh.
And she doesn't put blame on the teacher. She's just
listening
and letting him vent. And then finally says, you know, I'm just the sub. So, you know.
I'll pass that right along.
And yes, and then he feels very bad, obviously, and he goes to his men's group, or, you know, the single dads playbook, yes, and he tells them, and they're like, oh, gosh, maybe you should sell her flowers or whatever.
Yes.
And, but, okay, so, and then, you know, while he's struggling to figure out how he's going to apologize to her, she has always wanted to be in this small town. She just went through it one time and thought it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And she's kind of, her dad is an engineer and like moved all over the world. And so when she was young, she moved all over. And so all she wants to do is
stay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Exactly. And Silver Hills is the place.
It's kind of what would like.
This is the town she wants to establish those roots in.
Yeah.
So since this is a temporary job right now, she kind of walks downtown and finds the dance studio. She was also a ballerina and taught dance in college. So she finds this little dance studio, and they need somebody to teach, so she gets the job.
Let me guess. One of the students
is his other daughter.
Other daughter.
Yes.
It's
your all three girls, yes, actually.
All three girls.
Ooh.
And they love her.
Mm-hmm. They do. yes, they do. They love her. And he gives him, you know, a chance to show that he's not in, you know what.
To her. H-O-W-L-E.
And hence begins their steamy romance. It's kind of a slow burn. They're kind of, you know, just taking it easy, just, you know, beating up at dinner or whatever. But they can't hold off much longer, and it just happens. And it's pretty steamy. It's pretty sexy times.
Physical, active.
I think I said they were cayenne. It's cayenne. Sexy times. Because I don't feel like there was any great lines.
There wasn't the fountain.
No, there was none of that.
How realistic do you think this is?
Well, I'll just say this. So the book is, I feel like it's too perfect.
Yeah.
We
predicted it.
Yeah.
Going to the button-up shirt.
It is too predictable. It's too perfect. Everyone's too perfect. Mm-hmm. Everything is too perfect.
The premise of a single dance club is too perfect.
I think it's awesome. I would love that. I think women, like, I love moms groups, and I think they should be called parent groups. So anybody who wants to go to it can go to it with their kids and stuff. And I loved it whenever, like, I actually met Justin before I met Angela.
Oh,
playing at the park.
Justin is one of two people in the world that my dog has peed on.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But it's not my dog, it's his dog. I can see it coming up. Oh no, stop. Justin is cool about it.
Justin's pretty cool about
everything.
He's a
good guy. Well, I mean, it would be great if men could get together and talk about their feelings. And, you know, these are big, strong, you know, macho football players.
Totally.
Oh, talking about football players
all in this club? Mm-hmm. In this tiny, itty-bitty little town.
Because it's all football players. They like this town because it's off. The
it's probably high altitude, so they could, like.
Well, and they don't have the they're not recognizable. Right. So they're, I mean, they are, but it's a small town.
I think they would stand out.
People know who they are, though.
Yeah, no, they.
If you're showy, then yes.
People know who they are, but they give them, they're not, they give them space. They're, you know.
Well, and also, it's like the waitress isn't going to be like, oh my gosh. The waitress is going to be like, hey, how do you. The usual,
yeah, you know? Exactly. That's kind of what happens, and so that's why they all just and they're also best friends, and they all want to live in the same town, and you know,
makes sense. But they're all single because I would have to say being a football player probably has a high divorce rate.
Well, all that trouble and being away,
absolutely, it'd be hard to be married to a football player.
So, the only two challenges these characters face are one. The girls are not into it when they find out they're romantically involved because
they're right down the street.
Exactly. They're not, I mean, they like True, but they don't like the idea of them dating. So they kind of have to work around that and figure out how to make that all work.
He was co-parenting so well.
Yeah. And any time you have, like, another woman in the mix or another man, like, the kids, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a huge adjustment.
Yeah.
It's not like they're just going to come with open arms.
And then the other one is Henley. He is... tears his ACL at a game. So, and he's an older player, so this might be for him. Yeah. And he has to kind of come to terms with that idea.
Yeah.
He's always known, you know, he's
always been a football player.
That's his identity. So, there's a little bit of a crisis where that's concerned, and she, you know, supports him through that. So those are the two crises. I'd say this checks all the boxes that you would find in a romance novel. I mean, you're like, you know, steamy, beautiful people, you know,
yeah,
cute little town, good friends.
Yeah, everything was perfect.
Yeah, good relationships. It's all perfect.
Yeah.
So if that's the type of book you like, I would say this is it.
Cool.
I like a little more, I think, personality. I don't know, turmoil, personality.
Okay.
I don't like everyone to be so perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
They don't seem believable or realistic.
Yeah.
They're too perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need to be honest, like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this book is, I mean, I also learned that there is a town called Cherry Hills in Colorado where all the football players live.
Actually, in real life.
Yes, this is Silver Hills, but there is a town called, yes.
It's like instead of Broncos or Mustangs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I saw what you did there.
You did.
I did.
I know my football teams.
I know. I don't. I mean, like the green, the guys wearing green or the guys wearing red?
Oh,
oh my god!
At one point in my life, I had no idea what a football even looked like. So,
like I said, not until I had boys that played football did I even know what they were doing.
I know to cheer when they get a hole in one. Uh-huh. So just,
I thought they just were. I thought they were just tackling each other. I literally thought they were just tackling each other out there. I'm like, oh.
I'm like, you know, running.
In high school, I never paid attention to the game. I was looking at all the people, you know, like, oh, what's June and John doing down there? Oh, look at Katie and Mary over there.
I used to babysit these boys, and I would babysit, and then all the neighborhood kids would come over, and I'd have enough kids for a football game, and they're like, "We want to play football." I'm like, "Okay." And then so they'd like, I'd get dropped on one of the teams, and I'd be the one breaking all the rules. They're like, "You can't throw the ball after you've caught it. You have to." So then their brothers would come over and like be the coaches for the teams. And I would just be like, okay, go team.
So did you learn a little bit about football?
Because the boys that were coming over to hit on me while I was babysitting in the neighborhood, when I was just babysitting the two, they ended up taking over the football game portion of it. And so then I would just like be getting snatched for everyone. and like, oh, you guys get to.
Oh, my gosh. So my neighbor was my crush. And he was like the wide receiver. Yeah. And I because he always wanted to get together and play football. I'm like, anytime.
You can tackle me.
Just tackle me. We don't have to play a touch, but, although you can touch if you want. I mean,
you can just tackle me. You can just really tackle me hard. And rub me around.
And I'll be your pigskin.
My really good friend, her husband is the head of the football coach in the high school team, and I don't know if I could get through a football game without her there next to me, because I'm like, what's happening?
Oh,
what just happened there? She knows everything.
So impressive.
Why did you just put that yellow thing up in the air?
Yeah, why?
I can't look at everything this time. It's like, how was it? They're like, oh, well, the guy way over there, he was out of, you know, he's out of lines, or he jumped a lot.
I need to sit by Megan so she can tell me what's happening.
Five referees. We got all sorts of eyes on.
So, and then, does it matter? I don't know. Not really. I mean, I guess.
No, I mean, you know, perfect doesn't really need my input.
No, it's true. And I mean, so I said, like, I would recommend it to anyone who wants everything perfect in a romance novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And likes,
a sports romance novel. I mean, it's that's that.
Yeah.
And I give them 25 to life.
That's a full sentence. Okay, so I'm going to go a little quicker because I know that this cute little place that we're at is going to want to close up soon. So my book was called Best First and Last by Amy T. Matthews. And this one kind of had a fun little writing style. The characters in it kind of reminded me of a little bit of Crazy Rich Asians. And just the way the some of the characters are just kind of done a little bit more flamboyantly. And some of the scenarios are just a little bit far-fetched, but it's just kind of a fun book in that regards. And, you know, you have a little bit of an aspect of a, okay, like real people don't spend money like that, but okay, you know, we'll just play along with it. So this one's really interesting because it's basically about a daughter, it is a granddaughter, a daughter, and a mom. So, but in the story, I'm going to call the oldest one Grandma.
Okay.
And the middle one Mom, and the young daughter Heather. Okay.
Okay.
So Heather's the daughter, the mom's name is actually Sandy, and the grandma's name is Vaughn.
Who's the love interest?
So this is really weird because this is called Best, First, and Last. And so it actually is, this story has love stories entwined with it, but really it's a relationship story about the three generations of women. And so it's them coming to terms with their family traumas, you know, generational trauma about, oh, cheating dads, or I thought this person was my father, but it was actually this person, and that happened, and then trauma that has happened to them within relationships, and how it's impacted the choices that they've made in men, and moving on through their relationships. And so it was about generational healing, mm-hmm. in a sense, was what the author was trying to, you know, that was the main point of this, was generational healing and coming to terms. And then also forgiveness within family, like understanding where your other family members came from, and then owning how it impacted you and how that has impacted your decision-making process when you're going through relationships. So
that seems like a very universal kind of
thing. It is.
Like a lot of families. Everyone who doesn't have a family and trauma.
Absolutely.
So and you have to overcome.
And it's really true. Yeah. I find that in real life, you know, there is a lot of healing that comes from when you can finally stop being so hard on yourself and embarrassed about the decisions that you made, to when you can actually go to your generations. I don't know if you guys have had these conversations with your moms or whatever about, oh, this happened or that happened, and you can get that generational healing. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough to get that when I went through, and it's funny for me, it was when I went through my divorce with Adrian.
That was a big change
and stuff with me and my mom and things too. And so, you know, why with the abuse and everything like that, why did I get myself in a situation where I was getting beat up? And why was I in such an abusive relationship, and why did I accept that? And so there was a lot of, you know, learning and healing with my mom in that scenario. And it was really kind of wonderful too, because she had come to a point in her life, like the women in the story, where they were kind of like, I no longer feel like, I am so sorry that I've always tried to defend myself and I could never hear you and help you. And so for me, the healing that happened with my mom was she heard me and it helped me process some of why I made the decisions I made. So then it helped me identify it and own the realizations that helped me then move forward to make a beautiful decision with my new partner. So that's kind of what this book goes through. There are love stories. Each of the women talk about love stories, and the youngest daughter, Heather, is kind of the biggest focus of the whole story in it, in a sense. But she has this boyfriend, you know, that she just broke up with, and the mom's like, oh, you need to go for him. But she's like, no, he's not quite right. He's not quite right. I don't like these things about him. These things are red flags that her mom missed in her dad. And the daughter's like, it's not going to work. But the mom is just insisting, like, no, he's the one for you. So she kind of tries to keep putting back together. But then this Heather ends up, when they all go on this big vacation together.
The three women.
And Heather ends up getting to the vacation spot a few days before everyone else and having this intense fling, and she's just like love at first sight kind of scenario. And she's like, is that even real? How does that happen? And woo! And, you know, what do we do with all this? And so she talks about that new relationship with both of her parents, and both of her parents, you know, her grandmother and her mother and stuff, and go through that. And her mother is going through the turmoil of her Heather's father and her are divorcing, and he's already remarrying a young hot thing, and he was always cheating on her during their marriage and stuff like that. And so she's going through the mourning process of that relationship and learning to accept the fact that she still loves this man, but that he's not good for her, kind of in a sense. And so she goes through that healing process on this trip too and stuff. And so it's about that. And then she also owns how she was like, she was trying to get the ex-boyfriend back together with the daughter, like in a totally obnoxious way. Mm-hmm. And then she owns like, oh, okay, that wasn't appropriate and stuff. Mm-hmm. And owns her actions. And then you learn that the grandma, you know, the grandma, she actually has three relationships in this book that we learn about. One of them is a hot young passion, young thing. And then that's the mother, that's the father of the mom in the story.
Wait, does she know that?
Yes, she does. But the mom, but the youngest daughter didn't know that. Hmm. And the mom knew it. And so the mom thought that first dad had actually just ditched them. Like, oh, as soon as you're pregnant, I took off. So there's a story there. I'll say it in front of the book. And that's one of the reasons why the mom was picking unavailable men. So she learned some things and went through some things and understood some things that helped her heal from that process in the story. And so the grandma had that one. And then the grandma had the man who came in and kind of rescued everyone and was the father figure. And he was great. But she had some secrets that she never kept from him that created insecurities in their marriage, that had some things that were wrong, but he passed away and that they still had a good marriage. But, you know, some bad things happened in that marriage too, but she understood it and she took, you know, and he was still a wonderful man. And so she had different, and then the grandmother had a final love, an old age love, where she knew she wasn't the love of his life and he wasn't the love of hers, but they had this very friend romance. Mm-hmm. And so you get this beautiful perspective from the grandmother, because she's had three different very loving relationships in very different ways. Mm-hmm. And so she's had these multiple great loving experiences, and it's just neat to see. So that's this whole book in a nutshell. As far as steaminess is, you find out that, you know, when obviously Heather gets to the vacation spot ahead of everyone else and she's hooking up with Hot Boy. Because he's, of course, perfect. Because he's a flat character, because he doesn't matter. He's just the man in the story, so women can talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's perfect.
He's just a centerpiece.
He's such a pretty boy. Like, he just all went to fantasize and I'm like, ooh, la, 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 la. And of course, in the
author, that's how my heart beats too.
Yeah. And then, of course, the author, just to make us but girls who eat too much chocolate cake, happiness, you know, the author's like, oh, yeah, you know, she's got curves, you know, so, like, she's telling us that this drop-dead Adonis man who's super nice, super intelligent, absolutely beautiful, likes the really quirky girl who's chubby. You know, because that's what we all want to hear and believe in our life, that that can totally happen.
Well, I like that better than the book I read, which was they were both beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I hate it when I'm like, yeah, but is that realistic? Like, I'm like, you gotta put like with like a little bit more realistically, especially with
Is there a romance novel out there where they're like pointing out how flawed and unattractive the other person is?
Sometimes.
Really?
I don't know. Because
when you're in love with somebody, there's so nothing tricky about it.
Yeah, but there was nothing about like, oh, until later, like they were lost.
They're kind of lost. So was this love was interest between Heather and the new Adonis, was that like...
Was that realistic? So many funny things. Like, well, it was a basis for the real story in this love story is the generational healing and the mother-daughter grandma.
So it sounds like there's a lot of love stories.
There's a lot of love stories. And it talks about lots of different types of love, which is really nice. So this is a great book.
Because that was all those generations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a little bit like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it
sounds like a good book.
It is a good book. It's a good book. You know, I mean, if you... it's, if you're looking for a true, like, oh my gosh, love story, love story, love story, it's not a specific love story, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's a great relationship story between the things. It's written okay. You know, it's readable. I love the topic. I love the generational thing. It's a really hard topic to write. I think she did a pretty good job with it.
Did you find it? How realistic was it?
Well, it was a little over the top. You know, grandma's taking everyone on these multi, you know, on this, like, probably, I would say, $100,000 last-minute trip. And then grandma goes from, then grandma goes from being, you know, trailer park trash to, you know, rich.
She won the lottery?
No, because just stupid reasons, you know. Kind of like a little Scooby-Doo. There was a lot of Scooby-Doo-ness in it. And then some of the characters are just obnoxious. You're like, come on, people. Like, some things were overdone and too much. But if you just looked at it kind of in that funny, crazy rich Asian sort of way, you're like, okay, whatever, yeah. No one in real life would actually do that. And if they did, you would be like, you're psycho. You know, like, boundary breach so bad. But, you know, so, like, and sometimes they'd focus on this thing that's, like, not that big of a deal. Oh, I can't believe I did this. And, like, overlook this other thing over here. Like, but what about red flag number, you know, like, wrapping the world? Yeah. So, anyway. But
how spicy was this one?
This was totally a green pepper. I mean, maybe a jalapeno because we know that they have that, you know, but we didn't really hear anything. There was, and the relationship between Heather and the other person, I don't know. Maybe 3 months, 2 years. Probably three months. Yeah. And when these two people realistically ever get together, no, these two people realistically would never get together.
Not more than 3 months.
No, like, I mean, the premise is that, you know, like, yeah, okay, you're the only thing here, so let's hook up. I mean, yeah, that can maybe happen, but
who would you recommend reading this?
I would probably say this is, like, if you're curious about generational healing, this is more of a mom, you know, a healing relationship book to see how someone else did it. And just I think it's good just to see, oh, you do have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to listen with love to other people. If you really want to, if you want healing with those generational things, you have to accept responsibility and listen.
Okay. I think that sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, I reading, Lisa, you gave me a book for my birthday from this bookstore called, you gave me three, but I'm reading right now The 7-Year Slip.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
Really?
I mean, it's fun. It's good. I really like it. So just, there's another book we read from this store, which is fun.
And I definitely
agree. I'm reading. So we should do it, though.
Yeah, this place is super cute.
It is cute. Yeah. I like it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Me too.
Hopefully anyone listening comes to It's a Love Story.
Yeah.
Checks it out.
It's they
have these books that are wrapped up like surprise books.
Oh, yeah.
We should surprise ourselves one of these
days. Yeah, let's do that.
So
we'll do a surprise.
And they have little things on them to say, if you like this and this and this, then try this book.
Yeah.
Mystery book. This whole place is just horrible.
Yeah. So, upcoming book or movie that we're going to be watching Truly, Madly, Deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys watch it first.
Yeah.
And then listen in. On the website, you can go and you can rate what you think. How steamy was it? How long will they last? How realistic? I want to hear what you guys think of it too.
Me too. And then maybe read those.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, after we review it, we can see what other people think too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally. And then we're going to read Twisted Love by Anna Honk.
Mm.
And that'll be up there for you guys to chime in on too.
No. Like, twisted love was just not my cup of tea.
I haven't read it yet. Okay, yeah. I haven't read it yet. All right, we'll see. Now I'm interested after that. Sorry, I gave a very interesting book.
Okay, we'll see what we find. So go check out our website, you guys, and send us your love stories.
Yes.
Advice.
If you haven't listened to, we did what do we call these podcasts? One of our more recent podcasts, we read a love letter that somebody wrote us. It was amazing.
It was.
I really enjoyed it.
Yes, we want to read more of those, so please send them.
Yep, send them our way. Yeah. And thank you for listening and stay curious.
Always.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Signing off. Bye.
Bye.